Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. This is Fightful. It's February 1st, 2023. We are here live on YouTube.com/Fightful and, of course, Fightful.com. We are simulcasting to Twitch.tv/Fightful Gaming. Unfortunately, Twitter, StreamYard acting up, so we're not over there right now. But hey, listen, you're here. If you've been here all throughout today, you saw the What Do You Guys Want to Talk About podcast. If for some reason you're interested in me burying people, that's a good place to find that. But we've got lots of cool content over on FightfulSelect.com as well, including we had the Hour 2 rundown of AEW Dynamite. We're going to have some producers' backstage notes on that, something that got heat for Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. But you also get the guy to whatever direction you're looking at me from, Alex Palowski, doing sour graps over there usually twice a week. Alex, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. Everything's coming up roses at the end of the show for me, so I'm looking forward to talking about it. This Friday, it'll be me and Alexis Cardoza on this very channel talking about SmackDown, because Kate is on the Jericruz.
Who's doing the NXT show with you Saturday?
We'll figure it out.
I love it. That is also my answer to who's doing the post-show press conference.
Right.
Because it probably ain't me.
No.
It probably ain't me.
No.
Guys, leave a thumbs up. We would greatly appreciate that. If you want your question or statement read on the air, you can donate a super chat here at YouTube.com or a Humper Chat over at HumperChats.com. We had a great interview with Aubrey Edwards that went up yesterday. We have a great interview that Scott Edwards did with Mariah May coming up this Friday, and I'm going to throw in a bonus one probably this weekend as well. How about some more AEW this weekend? The Wrestling Perspective podcast has Swerve Strickland, so we got lots of them coming your way. Every Sunday, the Wrestling Perspective podcast has some really great stuff, but meet Normison in a Humper Chat right out of the gate. That's what we love. We love to interact with you guys. He says, if I say SBSOB, do you know what I mean? Because tonight's Dynamite was sponsored by Nation Meat Week, and I'm here for it. Of course, we love our sirloin beef sons of bitches, and there were some on tonight's show. Absolutely, Meat Normus. And Doidless says, what do you think AEW might outdraw WWE in the UK? The O2 holds about 20,000. Craven Cottage, about 25,000. I know WWE did clash at the Castle, 60K, but is it a psychological victory? Alex, I would say no. We had reported on FightfulSelect.com that WWE wanted to do the O2 because they see it as the MSG of London. Like, they could have very easily done a stadium again. Like, that would have been very easy for them to do again. But it's hard to say that, but I think AEW should be focused on their own victories. If they do 20,000-25,000 at Craven Cottage, I think that is phenomenal.
That'd be a huge thing for them. Absolutely. Yeah. No, I think there's a little too much compare and contrast going on when you have one company that's been all of wrestling basically for the last 20 years and the biggest thing in wrestling for the 20 years before that. And this company, which, lest we forget, is in its fourth year of existence. Mm-hmm. To try and apples to apples it is hard. You have to figure out a way to like grade things on a curve. And I think they're doing an amazing job for considering how far along they are.
Jamebeard says we should have a Julie Cutlass to the NXT show. I do understand that bit. Mm-hmm. Says, can we have more puns tonight? Because as I said yesterday, see Reef Sap. No, we cannot. No. Keep those on Tuesday.
That's right.
That's how we will handle that. But you know what else we kept on Tuesday this week? The Backstage Report podcast on FightfulSelect.com. Some of you were saying, hey, Sean, did you do your own review of Royal Rumble? I did for about 25, 30 minutes at the end of the Fightful Select Backstage Report podcast. So check that out. We got Jake Salazar asking if Trips can ask Scripps why he wears that mask. Maybe next Tuesday he can.
Maybe
next we'll Tuesday see. Around midnight Eastern when nothing else is going on in Tripp's life. Mm-hmm. But we've got AEW Dynamite to talk about. Yep. Thank God we have it to talk about. We kicked it off with a hell of a match. Oh, just beat the brakes off of each other, did Mox and Hangman. Moxley comes out. Again, this is like an hour from his house, hour from where he grew up in Dayton with his dad and Wheeler Yuta. I just love that he's like, well, I want my dad and Wheeler Yuta. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh, that's so fantastic. But they end up fighting, beating the brakes off of each other before they even get in the ring. And Paul Turner's like, boys will be boys, I guess. And then they beat the snot out of each other even more in the ring, including Moxley kicking out of the Fightful Award-winning finisher of the year, the Buckshot Lariat. And I'll tell you what I love. When a good pin beats a good wrestler, Alex, I love it. I know a lot of people say a sneaky roll up. There ain't nothing sneaky about getting your shoulders pinned to the mat, my friends.
No.
It happens and you lose. It's just as effective as a DDT or anything else. Uh-huh. I was in love with this match. They have something very special. Let's talk about the match itself before we get into the match, because there was some great stuff, like a nice front chancery superplex that he ain't seeing much these days. Mm hmm.
This was, God, I love the way these guys fight each other. Like, they have some kind of special chemistry. Like, I don't know, man. Like, it's so hard for me to again, compare and contrast. But for me, like, this is Moxley's greatest dance partner.
Yeah.
Like just the like it feels like these two guys were made to punch each other in the face. It just feels like that. Some guys you have like, oh, your greatest rivalry, or like, but there's like people who are like, maybe not your greatest rival, but your greatest dance partner. One on one in the middle of the ring. That's the stuff, man. And these two guys, for me, that's it. I loved this match. I loved how there is such malice in every forearm shot to the face. I love this match. And the finish, there are different kinds of roll-ups, man. Yeah. A schoolboy off a music distraction because you're looking up the ramp is a completely different kind of thing than you are desperately trying to lock in your opponent's submission finisher chokehold.
Just to troll him, just to be a dick.
Well, even like that, or like, hey, this works when he does it, maybe I'll try it. And the bulldog choke is not like a really hard thing to master.
No.
But he's doing it to Moxley. And I love on commentary, they say, if somebody's doing your move to you, you probably know every counter to it. And Moxley did it, but it didn't feel like, aha, I have you in my trap. It felt like, I gotta beat this guy or I'm gonna die.
Like, because he knows the danger of it.
Exactly right way to do it. I loved the finish. Loved it.
Mentioned that front chancery superplex. Like, I just love them busting out stuff like that. Like, I could have went Death Rider, could have went a lot of things from that spot, mm-hmm. but he did something just a little bit different. And that's what I like. I really, really love seeing moves that I haven't seen in quite a while. Really dig that. Afterwards, like, whew, they wanted more of each other.
Oh,
like, here's the thing. We weren't saying it was a cheap pin. Both of them were kind of like, this isn't how either one of us ended it, because Mox wanted to knock him out.
Right.
And Hangman did want to pin him, and neither really got what they wanted. Moxley was aiming to send Hangman right back to the UC hospital.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he was doing. He was looking to have him camp out there for the night, getting his concussion protocol done. That's what Moxley wanted. This was just phenomenal. And them just flipping each other off repeatedly.
Well, like,
and
like
doing burpees Moxley, and stuff.
Moxley laid down and did snow angels, to which Hangman went down and did a couple of burpees. Basically showing like, that's all you got.
Yeah.
Let's do some more. And I love Claudio and Wheeler Yuta coming in and getting between them. My hope is that out of this whole Moxley and Hangman thing, eventually we get Hangman versus Claudio for the ROH title.
That'd be cool. Because
if that's the end game here, that would be really, really great.
Yeah, and Hangman never won that title.
Nope.
So, I mean, man. Orion Ben says three generations of Moxley's wrestling's royal family. Well, there's more than one royal family in wrestling. Tom LaValle says Mox came out with his dad and his son. Love it.
It's true.
Hightown Spur says they've run Mox and Hangman three times, and not only do I want it more, I think both of them can have an even better match than the amazing ones we've seen. So that's the thing. Like, you know, I don't like matches that they just do over and over and over again, but this, in the way that it's booked, well, you had to do one after the first one. The second one did leave me being like, all right, well, Hangman got his justice, so to speak, but he still wasn't done, and neither was Moxley. Right. And this one has me feeling like there is no finality at all, because both of them stood up, looked at each other, and flipped one another off.
Yep.
I often say, like, one of my favorite starts of a feud was early 96, Savio Vega, Steve Austin. When he was still, I think he was still the ringmaster then, or maybe it was February or something. And they were put in a cold match on Raw. And they just beat the living shit out of each other.
Sure did.
And during that match, they're just like, they developed a hate for one another during this 5-minute match. They went to a double countout and they wouldn't stop fighting. And I believed they wanted to keep fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to add straps in there. You had to add all this other stuff. If they make me believe they want to fight, I'm going to want to watch them fight.
Right.
Sawyer says, get rid of Dana's slap fight. Replace it with a weekly hour of Hanger and Mox kayfabe concussing each other. Listen, if they did a parody.
You know how they, one of the biggest things, whenever WWE breaks out the arm wrestling match, they should do a kayfabed slap fight.
And then, after about four of them, Moxley goes, this is dumb. And they just start fighting each other.
And they just fight.
I would love it. Yeah. I would love it. Oh, man. Just phenomenal stuff. Yeah. Guys, reminder, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Backstage, Jamie Hayter accepts the Bunnies challenge for a title eliminator match. I like that virtually all non-title matches are like, well, if you win this, you're going to get a title shot. That's what it should be. I'm sure Tegan Nox and Shotzi have something to say about that, but they won like four of them.
I believe they did.
But Saraya and Tony attack Britt Baker backstage. Later on, Ruby is approaching Britt, and Britt doesn't trust her. And I like this. Britt is like, I'm not falling for this. I know that you're friends with them. I don't trust you. So either Ruby is playing it, like, there's three options for Ruby. She's like a double agent.
Right.
She is sincere, or she's just looking at it like, I got to make friends with somebody because things are getting rough out here.
Right. Right. The team, I think, that welcomes her in with open arms, I think, is the one she doesn't join at some point. Like, she feels like she's too like counter anyway, the wind is blowing, she goes the other way type of thing. I also don't know this for a fact, but when they say you've known them way longer than you've known us, I feel like the amount of crossover that both Toni Storm was in the States when Ruby Riott was still employed by WWE was a much shorter time than she's known Britt Baker. But I feel like there's a thing of like anyone who has spent any time outside of AEW will now be shunted into one team as opposed to like they're all friends. Yeah, there's a bit of a discrepancy there, but it's fine.
Thought this made sense. I mean, you further the angle, you establish that Britt is smart. She ain't trusting anybody. Mm-mm. The Acclaimed defeat the jobber team that we saw last week. This was fun stuff. One of them, though, like one of them for a short of a match, this was, there were a couple things that actually bothered me with that team. Like his partner gets kicked in the face and he's just staring at his partner, knowing that there are two other people in the ring. Right. Then when he gets slammed down for the was up, he's already lifting his legs up for Max Caster. I'm like, make him work for it, buddy. It's his job to do that. But this isn't about the match itself, which I did enjoy them last week. Mm-hmm. This is about the aftermath. The Guns come out, mm-hmm. and the Guns have had some good lines on Pilly Gun, as they call him, over the last week. Like, I don't think you could hear it over the video last week, but mm-hmm. when he said, "Our faults as son are your failure," oh boy, it was the crowd was like, "Damn, bro, that was a deep cut."
Yeah,
and then this week they're like, "Drown your sorrows," and I thought it was going to be like, you know. Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything, and you won't believe how simple it is.
In the safe thing, in a bottle of alcohol. No, a bottle of pills, he said.
Mm.
Damn. And then Billy Gunn said, okay, you want your damn tag title match? You got it next week. Now, this is after Anthony Bowens called them Rod and Todd Flanders, which popped me immensely. Yes. A very underwhelming rap by Max Caster before that, by the way.
Yeah.
I thought Anthony Bowens really outshined Max Caster, but there's a lot going on here. Mm-hmm. Guns have some good lines. Anthony Bowens outshines his tag partner on the mic. And Billy Gunn accepts a title match on behalf of the Guns, which, gotta believe, it leads to Billy turning on them.
Oh, you can see this turn coming from space. Like there's giant flashing lights on this heel turn coming. Like we all can see it. It's there. The problem I have with this is that the moment of when Billy Gunn turns around from halfway up the ramp and comes to the ring and says, "You said it. Now look me in the you're the one who said the words. You look me in the face when I'm talking to you." To Austin Gunn. And then he says to them, "All right, well, you will put your big boy pants on. Let's go." And I was like, is Billy Gunn going to challenge his sons to a 2-on-1 handicap match? Because that would be way preferable for me to what we're going to get, which is next week the Acclaimed have a match versus the Gunn Club that the Gunn's father put the Acclaimed into on their behalf, And during that match, Billy Gunn is going to turn on the Acclaimed, and the Gun Club will be champions until Revolution, when they'll lose it back to the Acclaimed. But
I think they should lose it to somebody else. I think they should be transitional.
Then you got to figure out a way to get to the heat has to be then on Billy Gunn and Max Caster, and they got to resolve it in a way that doesn't make Caster and Bowens look like utter dumbasses, because if they don't see this coming, they're the only ones who are talking about this match.
Well, that's my thing. I hope they do see it coming, but still get beaten as a result of it, regardless.
That's a really bad way to treat the most over tag team in wrestling. I don't know. It'd be a hard way to do it for me.
But I do look at this and I go, okay, how much longer is this specific trio act gonna?
Oh no! Gonna work? Far as like Daddy Ass being there,
yeah,
like he doesn't need to be a part of it. It's fun, but he doesn't need to be. The Acclaimed can exist without Daddy Ass there.
And the Guns as a trio, I think, have some value as well, because like those three could be a very annoying heel trio fun stuff there. Meet Norma says, is the end game the reunion of the Gun Club versus the Acclaimed and Keith Lee? More trios, please. I mean, I do think that they should kind of use this to transition to another team, and then we'll kind of see where things go there. But right. I don't know of any that are more over than the Acclaimed right now, so maybe not.
Yeah.
Takeshita defeated Brian Cage. This win was very important for Takeshita, and they, Meet Normus says the national meet week match of the week. Takeshita and Cage was a hoot. If Kodsky doesn't have a belt by the end of the year, I'll stop pursuing the Linder. Takeshita, again, I say it all the time, he is so very clearly like their guy. And what I love is that he probably had the option to go back to Japan and do some things, and he is like,
sure.
No, I'm really liking the trajectory, the way things were going in America. And if you can find somebody like Konosuke Takeshita that not only looks the way that he does, is the size, 6'2", 230. If he's 6'2", 230, that's a pro wrestling 6'4", 250, right? Like, if you can find a guy that size who is 27 years old, who wants to be in America, and wants to wrestle in America,
yeah,
boy, and gets this type of reaction, this type of following, you take him. Brian Cage, again, best run of his career in the ring on live TV. I'll have some more news on him fairly soon, because there's some stuff there. But I think Konosuke Takeshita is killing it. And the fact that they've had Brian Cage on multiple weeks in a row before Takeshita beats him, I think goes a long way.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think Takeshita picking up a victory here is great, because he's going to lose next week. Well, he's not going to lose, but he's not going to win. So I think they'll probably do some odd finish to it. I think it's great that he's getting a TV victory. I think you're right. I think that he will get a push towards a title, if not being the champion. They got a lot of guys in line. I'm going to talk about this at the end of the show. I think the TNT title can be used in a way to get a lot of guys runs. If you force it to be defended all the time against top talent, then you can find ways of getting guys reigns with it that don't have to last several months. But anyway, I love this match. I think that there was that point where he hulked up Brian Cage into that Liger bomb. And Brian Cage is not a small man. And that was just all like Konosuke. Like that was, I think this guy is so damn talented.
He's so good. And Takeshita obviously, so clearly a future major star for long time. Oh yeah.
And obviously Danielson's taking a shine to him, because there's a reason why Takeshita is the one who's coming out and bailing Danielson out of everything. So like, there's a really cool, like, teacher pupil relationship they can go through there. It feels like Danielson's not even involved with the BCC anymore, like at all. So like, if they just want to do a thing with him and Takeshita for a while going into the summer, I'm definitely with her.
Tom Lavalley says, Takeshita to win the TNT title, color it Cinnabon. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I want him to have all the things, absolutely all the things. And it's good that he won this match. Amir says, I think Hangman feud will lead into BCC versus Elite for Blood and Guts. Hangman said he was going to make amends with some people a few weeks back. I think that would be a whole lot of fun. You get Bryan Danielson after Revolution. He heads back to the BCC. Like maybe even Hangman Page rejoins the Elite, and then Bryan Danielson rejoins BCC for that. I would really like to see the women get a Blood and Guts, though. Like it is long overdue, and they have the right angle for it. But I don't dislike that idea, Amir. I think it's actually a very good one. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the Elite, they're backstage. Nick Jackson is shooting his shot. This is, by the way, the Fightful Award for Best Vlog was shown off on BTE this week. I was so happy they gave it to Brandon Cutler. But they accept a challenge, or they say they're going to face Top Flight and AR Fox next week for the titles. That's great. But Stokely walks up with Ethan Page, Matt Hardy, and Isaiah Cassidy, who have some cohesion going on here. Mm-hmm. Like this forced friendship, this forced employment thing mm-hmm. was, I guess, starting to bear some fruit. And they're getting a match on Rampage. But the highlight of this mm-hmm. is Isaiah Cassidy talking trash, then walking up to Kenny Omega's ear and going, as Omega reacts. Yep. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. That was fantastic. That's going to get over.
Yes.
That's going to get over really well.
Yep. I think this will be fun on Rampage. Give me more of the Elite. These guys wrestling more. Like we got Kenny back. He's fully healthy. He's doing amazing stuff.
Visa issues are fixed.
Visa issues have been cleared up. Let's get these guys. I love this thing. I mean, I'm so excited for this Top Flight and AR Fox thing. I think that's great. It really looks like there's some amazing trios matches and some trios feuds in the future for this, for these titles. So I'm looking forward to it.
I just think that, you know, he's been sitting under the Matt Hardy learning tree for a while. I think he took the orgasmic advice, mm-hmm. perhaps a little, mm-hmm. little
probably too much.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. Do you know where Matt Hardy told me today he got that from?
No. Where's that?
Salad Fingers. I hosted the Extreme Life with Matt Hardy today. Uh-huh. And he was asked what his favorite animation was. And he's like, are you familiar with Salad Fingers? And I was like, oh my God, like I landed voiceover roles by doing that voice. Like that one was thrown at me. And I was like, well, it just so happens I've watched that 100 times. Mm-hmm. And when he told me that, I was like, I can't believe Matt Hardy watched Salad Fingers. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal. Phenomenal.
Wonderful.
We've got the Yas interview backstage. Actually, we've got Jambeard saying Elite plus Page and Cole versus BCC and Takeshita. Who would be the fifth guy? I mean, with BCC, you got Claudio, Danielson, Yuta, Moxley, and Takeshita. You'd have mm-hmm. five.
Mm-hmm.
The Yas interview. So first off, I want to say Daniel Garcia did a great job in this. He was great. I feel like a lot of times AEW runs concurrent angles that are the same thing. Mm-hmm. And that's my frustrating point here. We're watching Bryan Danielson on this show go through a lot mm-hmm. of people to get to MJF. Now what we're watching is Ricky Starks have to go through Yas to get mm-hmm. to Chris Jericho.
Right.
And we've also seen this with Chris Jericho.
Yes.
Like stables before. Like
mm-hmm.
I don't want to see this again and again mm-hmm. and again. I just don't want to see it.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody says, it's just one match, I'll allow it. I don't know if you mean this or something else. This ain't one. It's like four. But they said it's a one-nighter, though, right? I mean,
It's a gauntlet, meaning sure. Ricky Starks has to beat all these guys back to back to back to back to back to back in one sitting, as opposed yes. to Danielson, which is every week.
Yes.
Now, there is a difference, but they're too similar to be running at the same time.
Yes. I was just like, I do like that it's one night if it is one night. And I would just love if Ricky Starks was like,
like he had the answer. And he's like, you dumbasses don't have any new ideas. Mm-hmm. Like I watched your old tapes. I figured this out. But Brent Lockman says, you can't say you do the salad fingers voice and not do it. Them's the rules. Okay. There you go. That's him touching rust. Living Dead Frank says, as amazing as the Best of Seven series was, we're getting the new Elite Trios matches against mini dream teams, LFG, House of Black. I want to see House of Black more and more and more. They popped up last week. Mm-hmm. I got to see them just obliterate those two jobbers that we saw this week. Last week, that was a hoot, man.
Yeah, that was good. That
was fantastic. But yeah, I do want to see. I want to see that trios division heat up. I want to see some undercard trios matches. I want to see some people develop some of that. Eloquent says, Starks already beat Jericho. Why do the gauntlet? I mean, Ricky strikes me as the kind of guy that's like, I'm done with your dumbass.
Like he should better be. Things. He should be, but it was Andretti, right? That got hit with the bat.
Yeah.
And so Stark says, you cheated. And well, okay, so we didn't cheat, but even if we did, if you want to get us back for that, you got to run the gauntlet. And Stark should say, why would I do that? I already beat you clean in the middle of the ring. You probably shouldn't be hitting my friends with baseball bats, but I'm out. Otherwise, it's going to be this gauntlet, and then he's going to win it, and he's going to go up against Jericho. And if Jericho snakes a win there, this feud will last until the fall.
Well, you know, whether it's fall, whether it's winter, whether it's summer, you're going to feel like you're cheating to win here mm-hmm. with this deal from harrys.com/Fightful. Get a starter set for only $3. January means a lot of things. New Year's resolutions, getting back in the gym, making changes to your life. If you want to put yourself, a new you, to the test, harrys.com/Fightful can help. Maybe you're going from Sasquatch to a competitive swimmer. Going full Anders from Workaholics. Maybe you want to look like him. Harrys.com/Fightful has that Truman Shave trial set, a $15 value for just $3. A 5-blade German engineered razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, travel cover. Plus, you can schedule replacement blade deliveries whenever you need them with refills as low as $2. It's everything you need for a great shave, nothing but that. They're made in their own factory that they acquire. They acquired this great German blade factory. That way they could bring you the best razors. It's got the highest customer satisfaction in the shaving industry. In addition to that $15 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/Fightful, they're still offering a no-risk trial. I love when our sponsors do this. That way, our wonderful audience can check them out. And if for some reason you don't like it, if for some reason you make yourself look like Garth Brooks with that side project he did with the soul patch, remember that, and you don't like it, harrys.com/Fightful gives you your money back. If you've got friends in low places... Sorry, Alex, I can't follow up after that one. Harrys.com/Fightful. I got to save that one for another one. Pavement cut your hair to another ad read. Sheldon says, are the guns officially a part of the firm? Because we saw them with Stokely Hathaway a few times and haven't seen them with him in a while. It doesn't seem like it. And he even said, he's like, you know, some of these guys are just going to go their own way. They were hired by MJF. So I wouldn't believe so.
I feel like the firm, as constituted at the time we first saw them, was specifically an act put together to counteract CM Punk, AEW World Champion. And when that went away, the firm kind of like had to be restructured in a way because it wasn't the angle they were going to run for MJF in this next part of his time as champ.
Swerve is backstage. He has his moguls with him, including Grandin Goatsman, who is now known as Trench, which is way better than his real name.
Yes.
But let me show you the transformation this fella has made in just a couple years. Just a couple years. This is like not like a big thing. He was playing pro baseball in the minor leagues as of like 2 years ago. And this is what he looked like 2 years ago. So let me tell you, he had a vision for himself for sure.
He did indeed.
I feel like there were better options than the two guys that they put in there. A guy that nobody knows and a guy that people only have known as, well, he kind of looks like Brock.
Yep.
I've never seen a guy that's been like so hyped up because they look like somebody else.
Right.
And I'm sorry, but the last person I would want to be compared to if I was a rookie Brock Lesnar, who is perhaps the greatest rookie in pro wrestling history.
Right.
Quite his first year in WWE, he won King of the Ring, the world title against The Rock, the Royal Rumble, and main evented WrestleMania.
Yep.
I'm sorry. If somebody says you look like Brock, cut your hair.
Do something.
Stop it.
No.
Stop trying to look like Brock. And I don't think he's ever been able to shake that.
No, he's not been able to shake the comparisons. And I always thought the comparisons were unfair, and I was going to judge him based on the merits of what I saw. And then I saw, and I judge him based on those merits. There aren't any merits. There's the absence of merit.
I think there were better options for Swerve, but you know what? I'll see. And that's the thing. Drew says he didn't try to shake it. He soaked it up. He did. Like, he would pose like Brock. He would.
Yeah.
Retweet all that stuff. And listen, man, I look at that and I'm like, AOP were free agents.
Yeah.
They were free agents and everybody knew who they were.
Yeah.
WWE's trying to sign them, as reported by FightfulSelect.com. Please subscribe today.
Why wouldn't you try to sign AOP? If you were any company, why wouldn't you try to sign
FTR? FTR pushed for it.
They were great. They were a really great team. The thing coming out of this promo that we find out is that Dustin match we were supposed to get isn't happening yet, I suppose. But instead,
I'd imagine he's dealing with his family stuff right now, unfortunately. Yeah,
so we get, I mean, I'm assuming we're going to get that eventually. But for now, we're going to get Swerve going after Brian Pillman, which is not necessarily the same thing. Because I think a lot of people were really excited for that Dustin match. It felt like it was a complete, like a time travel match, and this feels a little different than that. Listen, if Trench and is Parker his name? Because I remember he holds up I wonder if he knows it. He just wanted to like hold up his little name tag he's got on his necklace. Parker and Trench, if they're just there to like beat up guys on the outside.
What a combo of names.
I know. Parker and Trench.
And at least if he's gonna be there, give him a name that makes him sound like a Streets of Rage crony too.
It's true. Parker. Hello, Parker.
Listen, I got a good one for him.
Yep.
T-Bar.
There you go. Good. Fantastic. T-Bar.
Perfect
and Trench.
Name.
Yep.
Jane Beard says Trench needs to carry a wrench so I can hear Tony yell out, Trench with the wrench.
Yep.
Oh boy.
Good. Yep.
Oh boy. G Bro says Trench is first floor mini boss. Yeah.
That's true.
There you go.
That is true. That's exactly who he is.
Pavement Cut Your Hair says, which 2019-2020 AEW alumni do you miss the most? I would say Cody Rhodes.
Rhodes. Like, it's probably the right answer.
I'm going to say Cody Rhodes. If I've got to throw out another one, I was actually very excited for what Kylie Rae could have done in AEW. And it's a shame that didn't work out. Nice.
Yeah.
Because I think that she offered something that nobody else offered. And, you know, the Bayley stuff, Bayley had completely changed her character by then. So I think those comparisons wouldn't have been there as much. Mark says, Mox and Hangman is surely building to a last man standing match. Also, idea. After Brian loses to MJF, start a program with him and Takeshita versus Claudio and Yuta, the two teachers and pupils. That way, Brian can heel turn on Konsuke and can fight his mentor. That's the benefit of having a Brian Danielson. He can work seamlessly. 1 month he's a babyface, 1 month he's a heel, 1 month he's right in between. His demeanor is that well, I'm going to do whatever I want. And I know that whenever I want these people to cheer me, they're going to be behind me. But I also know whenever I need them to boo me, they will. And I think that is a very special dynamic to have that almost nobody else does.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Well, we had Bryan Danielson. Somebody says, what happened with your Hardy backstage report? Okay, so I had reported in my Royal Rumble notes on Fightful Select that Hardy, the band that performed at Royal Rumble, was largely scoffed at. I would ask people, what'd you think of the Hardy thing? And almost everybody went, ugh. And they're like, you know, we had two matches that went 5 and 7 minutes. One person highlighted, they're like, why wasn't Bianca and Alexa main eventing a Raw? Why was you don't think Mountain Dew would have loved their match to have been on SmackDown in front of 2.5 million people? They would have loved that instead of 5 minutes or so. So they felt like it took time away, but there were aggregations that said WWE was unhappy with. Well, I don't know if they were unhappy with it. I know that what a couple of people there did, and they scoffed at a few people. I would say it was more than a couple, more than a few too. It was like five or six people were kind of like, ugh. But it wasn't people acting like it made them livid. That's why I always say, like, for all the people that say, why would you subscribe and pay for wrestling news when it comes out 5 minutes later? Because it's rarely accurate.
Yep.
Rarely accurate. And I don't think it's fair, even to a musical artist that I thought absolutely sucked. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's fair to apply editorial context to an objective news report. Right. Here on this show, I'm going to say Hardy sucked. He was garbage. But in the news report, I don't get to say that because it's not my opinion in the news report. And Joel says, Hardy is country saliva. Y'all want to know? No, because if he was country saliva, I would have thought that it was dope. I would have thought it was awesome. I've been trying to interview Josie Scott for a long ass time and will.
The thing that I saw people reacting to it at the time was, this has been a really long show already.
Yeah.
We just got through with the Women's Rumble. You're going to do this now? Now when we know we got 15 minutes of Roman entrance coming up? Like, and we all want to get to whatever happens after the Kevin Owens match. Yeah. Stop making us wait to that amazing moment. I think a lot of people were like, there was no reason to have the live performance at all.
There are literally two other Hardy musicians more better than him. Rebby playing the piano would have been better at that point.
Yeah.
Pavement Cut Your Hair says, true to the rumor that Cody left AEW because CM Punk demanded his own dressing room every week despite limited space and they blew up backstage. I haven't heard anything like that. Like any. Listen, all due respect to CM Punk, but I said this back then, and I think CM Punk is extremely valuable. But if you're telling me, oh, well, you get 3 years of CM Punk, but you got to compromise maybe 10 of Cody or 10 of the Elite, I'm sorry, I'm not going with CM Punk there, despite the fact that he is a changer. He is a game changer. Mm-hmm. Jane Beard says, Hardy is country Nickelback. Well, let me tell you, Nickelback's first album absolutely slapped. They absolutely slapped. Go listen to Breathe. Go listen to Leader of Men. That shit was good. I promise you, you'll like it. You'll be running around tomorrow going, two men started walking, started talking. You'll fucking love it. I guarantee you. Only the first album. It got real bad after that. Anyway, Bryan Danielson defeated Timothy Thatcher, who people, Chi-Town Spurs says, how is he not English? Well, let me tell you what I love. The English shout out to Billy Robinson. Shout out to the lineage there. I had the great fortune of being able to work with him a very little bit. And I ate about 20 of those half-hatch suplexes that Timothy Thatcher did, which are not fun to take. They're very hard to protect yourself with, but I'm sure Bryan Danielson was like, hell yeah, bro. Give me about 50 of them.
Bring it.
Because this was great. This was a phenomenal match, a great technical masterpiece. I just loved seeing that. One of my favorite parts was Thatcher was so close he could grab the ropes, and he goes, no, your fingers are right here. I'll just break those instead.
Yeah.
This was great.
I missed Tim. I missed Timmy. Toothless Timmy, man. With like there was some special stuff that he was doing with Tommaso Ciampa in NXT.
I really loved the two of them together. It made sense. They were having really great matches, and then bye-bye, goodbye. He's just gone. And I'm so happy to be able to see him again on a major TV in the States. And I love he comes with his own lore, according to the people who are talking about him. Like, there are a lot of people who may have never seen him wrestle. But the way that they put him over on commentary, you knew this dude was going to really hurt one of your faves, Bryan Danielson. And if you didn't even hear the commentary, just having him walk down in the robe with that grimace on his face, like, he's the angriest professional wrestler in the world. And I love watching him wrestle. He's an absolute machine. And I'm very, I would love to see him more often, but if this is a mercenary thing, what a perfect selection to be the mercenary to come after Danielson. And I mean, what are you going to, you always got a hurt shoulder. I'm going to literally work over the shoulder and do nothing else for as long as the match lasts. And, Danielson had to lay him out with a surprise knee in the face. In order, or that match would still be going on, because I don't think that Thatcher would stop until Danielson tapped.
He's just a fantastic professional wrestler, is Thatcher, in so many ways. Yeah. You look at him and he sounds like, okay, a lot of people think he's British, but his voice is what you think it is. He's rugged the way that you think that he is. As King of the North says, he has one facial expression and it's the right one.
No, he doesn't. He is tonight when he looked, when he found the camera and smiled that crooked tooth smile, he doesn't have one facial expression. This guy's one of the best wrestlers on the planet. He knows what he's doing.
He's such a great performer. Jam Beard says, I saw on Twitter last week, and it's true. Timothy Thatcher is the most British looking non-British guy ever.
That's true.
Cody says, who gets a golden up tonight? What's that mean?
I don't even know what that is.
I don't know what that means, but Jacob says, pretty good episode tonight. Thatcher is just my cup of tea as a wrestler. He just looks like a mean SOB. Well, you know what you can do? Take that cup of tea and pour it out, because he ain't British. He ain't British, buddy. We fought a war for this.
He's not British.
He's not British. Don't be saying he's your cup of tea. Shot Kid says, some humpers tonight. Missed having Toothless Timmy on my TV. Seems like AEW TV has found its stride again since Full Gear. Thoughts? Somewhat. I mean, I'm missing Miro. I'm missing Keith Lee, even though eventually I know he'll be back for Revolution. Yeah. I'm missing a lot of people here. Miro should be on this show. I miss Serena Deeb. I don't know where the hell she is. I want to see some actual contenders developed for the women's titles. There's still some things where I think that AEW struggles that maybe they weren't struggling with a few years ago. However, MJF came out. Takeshita fought him off. Backstage, we have the pull apart, and MJF is not happy that he has to face Takeshita next week, because he doesn't want to face anybody. He doesn't really want to face anybody, and he's got to face him in an eliminator next week. And this is what I love. Takeshita is very smart. He knows what he's doing. He's manipulating the guy that fancies himself as being smarter than everybody.
Right.
And MJF's whole thing is like, you're stupid. You have a stupid sounding name. Mm-hmm. You don't speak our language, and you're dumb. But no, Takeshita outsmarted him into leapfrogging everybody to get a shot at him. And that's what I love.
Yeah. Takeshita just deciding I'm going to fight you all the time because you called me take a shitta. And and MJF having the pull apart, and then Renee relaying the news from Tony Khan. I've just been told in my ear, yes, there's a match next week, and MJF going apoplectic about it, because and I also love Taz being like, hey, how are you going to do that match and the champ doesn't have any say in it? And Tony's saying, good, screw him. I hate that guy. Like, yes. I just love how Taz actually has a point, but also so does Tony.
Get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Broadway Joe says, not a regular viewer. I feel like I like the show, but everything seems like it goes at the same gear. AEW needs a super hot storyline. Is there anything you guys think has that potential? I thought that Cody versus the Elite had that potential.
Well, yeah.
I thought that running back Punk and Hangman had that potential. I think that Punk and the Elite has that potential. Right now, I'm still waiting on something to right. catch fire.
Well, they're not leaning on anything really hard and making it feel like it's the most important thing yeah. on the show. And I feel like that has a danger for some viewers of thinking like everything's running at the same pace, the same gear. I think like to me, the thing that has me the most invested is Paige and Moxley. But that's the curtain jerker on this night. And by the time we get to the end of Danielson and Thatcher, like you like, oh yeah, that match was tonight. That was an amazing match. But we have this other thing to look forward to later. Like they have all this stuff going. It feels like everything is equally important, and they haven't like put all of their chips behind one thing the way they did with like Hangman and Omega, or you know, or Punk and MJF. They haven't done that yet. Even Danielson and MJF, which feels really cool, doesn't feel like it is a absolutely far and away the biggest thing on the show.
Backstage, MJF approaches Roosh, trying to speak Spanish. He does not know Spanish, because if he did, he would know that after he handed over a big briefcase of money, that Roosh said, I'll take care of Danielson, and then I'll take your title from you too, yeah. Which is what Roosh did. And I like this, because this is, again, MJF being outsmarted,
right.
thinking that he's smarter than everybody that doesn't speak perfect English.
Right.
And that's very funny to me.
Yeah.
We got Mitchell Gillum saying, did you happen to find out who came up with the Elimination Chamber concept? You said you were going to look into it. I'm going to look into it. I just wasn't able to find out just this afternoon. Yeah. I'm going to work on an entire feature on it, but I will be asking about that. Jambeard says the whole Nickelback album is the same song. No, it's not. Kim Gray says, as a country music fan, Hardy was an embarrassing. Thanks for answering my son's question today on a podcast. Made his day. Well, you guys make my day by supporting us the way that you do. I greatly appreciate that. We had just a phenomenal thing. Like I'm tempted to do two Q&As a week, where one is public and one is on Select, but I'm liking the way things are going right now. So we'll see how that goes. But hey, subscribe to FightfulSelect.com on Friday. I'll probably be doing another one. Jade Cargill defeated Red Velvet. I saw an odd number of people that are like, is Red Velvet going to do it? And I'm like, no, absolutely not.
Not in this spot.
Earlier today even. But I say the same thing about Jade that I said about like Walter with the UK title, Reigns with the world title. Who beats her? I don't know, and I doubt they do, because that person hasn't come along yet. I'm still of the belief she should combine both the world and
I TBS see no title. Reason why Jade wouldn't say that.
Yeah.
I see no reason why Jade's character wouldn't say, I'm sorry, I'm done with people out there thinking I'm not far and away the best woman on the entire roster. So Jamie Hayter, get your ass down here. I'm fighting you and I'm taking your title. Like, that's what Jade Cargill would do. And so they've got to give her something serious to be busy with so that she's not doing that. Because every week that goes by where she doesn't do that feels like a betrayal of who what her character would do to me.
I keep seeing people to be like, oh, it's Chris Statlander. Buddy, she ain't going to be back till the summer.
Yeah.
And Jade is approaching 400 days and just hit 50 matches. Like, okay.
I mean, if Statlander's back in the summer, like, do it at All Out. Like, sure. Statlander versus Jade at All Out. Like,
well, that's assuming all goes well, and it is.
I'm saying, injury
is what we say it is. Yeah.
If she is back, like, build to that for that big thing, because it felt like they were all primed to, like, have Statlander be the one to do it before she got hurt. There's no reason why it can't be her eventually when she's healthy. Until then, you just got to make sure you got the right challengers for Jade so her reign doesn't feel stale. And if her reign feels stale, she would say, I want that other belt too.
I see some people mentioning some former world champions. I don't think so. I think you absolutely got to make somebody if somebody beats Jade.
Yeah.
Jade won this match. She presents herself like a star. Seeing her pick up her daughter and go celebrate.
Yeah.
God, that's a very likable thing. Like, I can't boo a woman like that. Hunter Tillman says 50-0 for the undefeated and reigning TBS champ. So happy for Jade. She impresses every time she competes, trying to think of who they're going to have dethrone her. So we talked about that a little bit, but Hunter spent a good amount of money on the super chat. Definitely want to give Hunter his money, money's worth, but she does the way that she carries herself, presents herself. Gear of the Year winner for Fightful Awards, by the way. She showed off the award on her Instagram.
Yeah.
Like, she gets it. And sometimes that outside eye of pro wrestling does get something that can translate to pro wrestling.
And I don't want to also just breeze past her picking up Red Velvet, who's laying on the canvas by the throat, bending over, picking her up, pulling her up, spinning her around, catching her in, like, she's finding new ways to just Hulk people up into that jaded that always impress. And the thing of it is that I really love this about Jade is she will never like kayfabe the fact that she's a good mother. Like, like she loves her daughter. She wants to have her daughter join in with this. There's nothing that says an arrogant person can't also be a good mother.
Yes.
Like, she's arrogant and she's confident and she's a great fighter.
She's showing her daughter that all the time too, that she can be this. Well. Yeah,
exactly.
I love it. I love that aspect of it as well. Like, I love seeing that side. Yeah. I think one of the things that I said on the award show is superheroes cosplay as her at this point. Like, it's not the other way around. Mm-hmm. She looks like an action figure. She looks like you pop her down in a Marvel movie. Right. Well, yeah, of course she belongs there, right? Like, she, and she is, I'm sure, her daughter's superhero. So I think that is so cool to see. It is so relatable. It is so incredible. And I just love it. Okay. Scott Rawson says, any info on future AEW House Rules show after Troy? How frequent will they be run? Well, I know that AEW talent have a certain number of dates in their deal. Now, sometimes that can be signings. Sometimes that can be, I don't know what all goes into it. I'm going to find out some more and work on a story. But the live event aspect, Alex, is very interesting because one of the things that AEW talent tell me they like so much is the schedule.
Right.
And now they are adding dates in. Doubt they're going to be getting paid a significant amount more, but hey, you know what? I'm sure they're going to film all these too. You want to keep adding hours for an eventual network and some hours that people haven't already seen.
Mm-hmm.
This is pretty good because every time anybody asks about a streaming deal, Tody goes, "Oh, the house always wins." That show that happened years ago.
Right.
What'd you think when you heard that they would be doing live events?
I mean, listen, it depends on how many the schedule. They have a big enough roster that, like, you don't have to bring everybody to every arena. Like, if people have, like, if they're going to be doing live events, well, this week you've got off. So go home in between the television tapings. You're not doing the things. You have a way of, like, you can stagger people so you don't have to, like, crazy weigh them down with travel and dates. I think you tweeted this, like, you don't know how wrestlers do it where they travel all the time because you traveled one time and you're done. Like,
the show was 3 miles from my house. I went to San Antonio the next day, came back, and I'm 3 days later, I'm catching up on sleep. I don't know how the hell they do it every week. It's amazing. And they do it for a living. Well, I know one thing that happens when I travel, Alex.
What's that?
NordVPN.com/Fightful is right there by my side. 4 additional months free, 3 great tiers, a 30-day money-back guarantee. I was in the airport. I was at the hotel. I was at the arena. I was on that Alamo Dome Wi-Fi. I don't trust that. I don't trust. In San Antonio, you got to be kidding me. Half that place barely has functioning toilets. I'm not going to trust people there. Like, I saw people out there, and they were like, "I see that Sean Ross app. I'm going to get his data." And I said, "No, you're not, buddy. NordVPN.com/Fightful. I didn't make that up at all. That's a real story that happened that I'm telling you all on the internet. NordVPN.com/Fightful help protect me. That online threat protection, blocked malware, blocked annoying pop-up ads, blocked all you people. But I'll tell you what it didn't block. My ability to watch my programming on the road. The ability to watch this pay-per-view, the Royal Rumble, on WWE Network as I sat in a WWE press box. I wasn't even watching it on Peacock. NordVPN.com/Fightful gives you the ability to do that. Got that UFC pay-per-view coming up in 2 weeks. They cost $80. Not for me. I'm paying about $15 thanks to those overseas services with NordVPN.com/Fightful. It's a good time, guys. NordVPN.com/Fightful has everything you're going to need. You're going to end up saving money with it. Samoa Joe beat the brakes off of Darby Allin. This was fun.
Ooh, it was delicious.
Orion says, got to tell Darby to stop getting Alex's clothes. Eloquent says, still shocked WWE couldn't find Joe something to do. They did. It was just never for very long.
Yep.
Morg says, Alex's reactions to the ad reads always on point. Starting to think there's no bump Darby won't take. That one on the stairs looked rough. The somersault into the table was fantastic. He comes out with a damn thumbtack jacket. My only qualm was it took him a very long time to clip away at the ring.
And also, and like, that's him clipping away at the ring. I was like, so what are you doing that smashes your opponent into the uncovered canvas?
Yes.
Because like, if you lay Samoa Joe out on the wood and then do a coffin drop on him, that doesn't really hurt that much more. But if Samoa Joe does a muscle buster to you off the top rope, that sure as hell hurts a lot more. So him doing all of that makes no sense to me because it actually doesn't really help him much at all.
And that is exactly what happened, Alex.
Right. Yep.
Some incredible spots during this match. Right after he set up that table, or right after he clipped away at all that stuff, he took this gnarly table spot outside. Just
he took so long doing it that Joe was baiting him into doing exactly that. Stood there, right there waiting for him, and then did the Joe walk away spot. So he went for a dive and went through a table because Joe had enough time to recover. That's if you're setting up the match, you're winner-aging it, that's good ring psychology to bring into the whole story. I like that.
This was a hell of a match. Like Darby doing these types of matches every so often just really works as a main event. It works very, very well as a main event. And Samoa Joe being the one on the other end of this, we don't necessarily see a lot of weapons matches for Samoa Joe. So this was a nice change of pace, in my opinion. Really thought that it worked out outstandingly. J.K. Schwal says too early for Joe Darby to be feud of the year. Yeah, I think a little early, but we'll see. And Brett Lockman says, you know that move you nearly killed Tyson Kidd with? I'm going to pull the ring apart. And Sawyer says,
do it Darby, to me. Yeah, do it to me, Joe.
Darby heard Alex say he doesn't believe him using his body as a weapon was effective and said, bet.
Yeah, he said, well, now I'm going to wear a shirt made out of thumbtacks. Now it's going to hurt a lot more. Yeah, it would.
Mr. Acosta says, thought TNT title was going to be more IC and less 24/7. I'm exaggerating, but it doesn't feel as big as before, especially with the recent hot potatoes. I'm cool with hot potatoes. I'm completely fine with it.
If the matches demand it, that's like, listen, they were doing something with Wardlow. Did I hear Wardlow was injured, nicked up a little bit? And like
I don't know that for sure, but that's what Dave reported.
Right. So if that's the case, then you do something with the TNT title while he's not there. To me, it adds more intrigue if Darby beats Joe and then Joe comes back and beats Darby. And then you can, as we saw, you're starting up this Wardlow thing again.
Yeah.
Some of my favorite times of reviewing wrestling on Fightful was that amazing back and forth we had between Charlotte and Sasha Banks.
Yes.
Where like it felt like neither of them held the title for longer than 2 weeks. And they were just like, they were just, and every match was fire. And it was like, and that's great. I feel like if you are watching a show, and like I was watching this thinking, well, there's no way they're going to take the title off of Darby. He just got it. Maybe Darby loses it at Revolution. And the match ends with Samoa Joe winning. Now I don't have that thought the next time there's a TNT title match on TV. I think that if you force these guys who are the TNT champion to defend it at minimum once every 2 weeks on TBS now, but like on on TV, and they're always against top tier talent, then it's not a shock when they lose and feel like, oh, they were buried. What a terrible title reign. Occasionally you can put the title belt on somebody like Miro and give him a 6 month reign. And then that means even more. Yes. And then you can go back and find guys who are actually like, I think there's a really cool opportunity.
The title
to strap
reigns,
up a bunch of people in a short amount of time.
The title reigns don't have to be like a year to matter. Like we went from one end of the spectrum,
right,
completely to the other one. Like go and look at how many people have held titles in WWE for over a year since Punk did it, or since Cena did it even. It's like 15, 20 different people, like New Day, right. Usos, Roman Reigns, Gunther. Like there's so many of them. Mandy. Mm-hmm. Like before that, it almost never happened. Now, do we need 2 week reigns? Not necessarily. But when it calls for it, sure. I think it's cool that there are five people that are two-time TNT champions now.
Me too.
And I know, I mean, I don't think a month, 2 months, 6 weeks is hot-shotting or anything like that. But we're talking about how it doesn't seem like it means as much as it used to. I mean, you got to understand, the first year and a half was Brody Lee, who is now an integral figure in the history, and a guy who left the company and is now main eventing WrestleMania and winning the Royal Rumble. Well, no, it doesn't get any bigger than that in wrestling. Right. And that's the guy. And we knew that the reason he was after that title is because he couldn't go after the other title.
Like Darby won, beat Samoa Joe. And this was his third defense in a month. Or like he had a couple of successful defenses in there. And now he lost it back to the guy he won it from. And I love it was Darby's voice saying, like he says, if I beat you, you don't get a rematch. But if you beat me, I don't get a rematch. This is the end of our story. I don't want to do this anymore. So Darby's like stipulation he put on the match ends up costing him because he can't come back and try and get it again.
Joe wins the TNT championship. I like hot potatoing some titles. If it's fun, it makes sense, doesn't hurt anybody. I like it. It's cool.
If he had five defenses in 5 weeks, you can't say that he's been hot-shotted. Like it's like all that stuff. Like you.
I am completely with you. Wardlow comes back. Pavement Cut Your Hair says that was AEW's happy ending from TK. Very clever. Mm-hmm. Denise let us know that she knew what a happy ending was on the Raw show.
Mm-hmm. She was
Johnny Hirschman says TNT title, Revolution. Joe, Wardlow, Hobbs too. Hobbs gets his pin back on Joe to take the title back in his hometown. Me and my girlfriend got tickets. Hear me out. All three of them in a Sirloin Beef Sons of Bitches match, but also Darby in the Sirloin Beef Sons of Bitches match. I would love that. Where they're
just them pinballing him back and forth to each other,
and him being like, "Use me,
yeah,
lawn dart me. I'm cool with it."
Yeah,
I believe.
If they do that, and one of them does not throw Darby into the face of another one of them, then the whole thing's ruined. You got to make it work.
By the way, I was sent something from Rob Wilkins where it was Triple H who had the idea for the Elimination Chamber. So FYI, there you go. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. Please leave a thumbs up on this video. We would greatly appreciate it. We have an interview with Aubrey Edwards up now. We have Mariah May, and we're going to start rolling out those WWE interviews from this past weekend. Dominic in character was one of the most fun interviews that I've done. He tried to snatch Austin Theory's chain. That was a good time. But guys, please check it out. We just have a wealth of content on Fightful Select. Alex will be doing some stuff here on the main feed this week as well. Tell them what you got going on, Alex.
On Friday, after Rampage, which looks like it's going to be a really good Rampage, and the fallout from the Royal Rumble on SmackDown is going to be crazy. So yes. Me and Alexis Cardoza will be on this very channel talking about that. And on this very channel on Saturday, after NXT Vengeance, who knows? But it'll be a lot of fun. I promise you that. There'll be puns galore and funny voices and everything Sean hates. So.
I see people saying that we skipped the Jack Perry backstage interview. I blame Luis for not having it in the rundown because I don't do anything wrong. No more Jungle Hook. Jungle Boy is going for a singles title, even though he enjoyed it.
Yeah, good for them. I feel like there was there was so much merch to be sold for Jungle Hook. You could have kept them together for another couple of months at least before you broke them up. But, you know.
Fightful Award winner, Hook.
Yeah.
There you go. Guys, I want to thank you all so much. Luis says, my bad. Listen, Luis, I do not envy your spot. That's why you have your spot. Yeah. It's because I didn't want to do it anymore. Right. We love you, Luis.
Yeah,
thank you so much, guys. Until next time, we're out.